We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
Jim, I'd like to ask you about a belief that was expressed by some supporters of President Trump during the campaign last year. These people believe that President Obama was somehow responsible for worsening racial relations in the U.S. What do you say to people who hold that point of view?
I think they're misguided. President Obama is an African-American, obviously, and I think that there were people that objected to the fact of having an African-American in the White House, and that was the problem. And that worsened racial relations because they never thought that was going to happen in their lifetime, let alone my lifetime. And their antipathy towards having an African-American president is what really divided the country.
And what is your sense of how President Trump is affecting racial relations in the U.S. at this early stage in his presidency?
I think he's making it as worse as possible. He's a demagogue. He's constantly baiting different groups, including African-Americans. And he is definitely not the answer to bringing people together. He's sought to, I guess, divide for his own political gain, which I think is pretty obvious. And I'm just saddened by the whole thing because I think that the gains we've made over the last 50 years are getting ready to get rolled back big time, as he would say.
Let's go to Scott.
As we're seeing across the country, there's a vigorous debate on legalizing marijuana in Rhode Island. I'm wondering just why you, who are a supporter of this, what's the major reason from your perspective of why the state should legalize and regulate marijuana?
Scott, thank you for the question. It's a criminal justice issue. Three times more blacks than whites are arrested for marijuana, even though the usage is the same. And in some quarters, people feel that whites use marijuana more than blacks. So that's an outrage. That kind of targeting, doesn't do anybody any good. But once you have a record, that's when the problems really begin. You can't get housing. You can't get a job. You can't get a loan to go to school. So basically, it becomes a gateway drug, a gateway to broken lives, broken families, and broken communities. And our community cannot stand it anymore. It's sucking the life out of it, and we've refused to remain silent.
We understand the reason for why you support legalization, but what do you say to people on the other side of the issue that it would be ill-advised for the state to be in the business of sanctioning another mind-altering product that could affect people, particularly young people, adversely?
Well, I think young people are being adversely affected by it already. I mean, there's a tremendous black market that's not just here, it's everywhere. And I think to regulate it, it would actually clean up the problem by squeezing out the black market, which, you don't know what you're getting and you don't know what's the ages of the people they're selling to. Of course, when you have legalization here, it's 21 and up, highly regulated in terms of what you're getting. And I just think that it's happening anyway, similar to alcohol and similar to the bootleggers. you want to make sure that something that's happening anyway, you put it in the best light. And I think that the criminal justice aspect of it is tremendously important for our community. You know, I'm not going to talk about the economic gains that one can get. That's for other people. And I know that the medicinal, people have their arguments for why we should have marijuana. But to me, ruining lives over that substance is not worth it.
Looking at diversity and hiring, some communities like Providence, as you've noted, have a very good record of this. 63% of their new cadet police class are going to be members of minority groups. But we're looking at places like East Providence and Cranston that aren't doing so well. What's the problem there?
The problem is that they're not committed. Let's talk about East Providence first. East Providence, clearly, from everything that I've seen, and I used to work at the city. I worked in the planning department 20 years ago. They're not committed to diversity. I mean, there was a case of the fire academy class getting thrown out. There were three or four people of color in that class. And that's important because they only have three people of color out of 113 firefighters in that town, which is a very diverse town. So when I see that, and when I see an African-American male who was supposed to be a laborer get passed over for no reason, and then the African-American woman in HR who protests it gets retaliated against, clearly that town is not in favor of diversity. Now, in Cranston, you have an all-white, all-male fire department. And I know that I've had meetings with Mayor Fung in terms of trying to change that. And we've looked at maybe some of the barriers, like having to have an EMT in advance and having people that are able to pay for it with no guarantee of a job. But it goes deeper than that. There are other departments that really don't have the diversity, and it's going to be something we'll have to talk with the mayor about. We can be friends and we can disagree and agree, but we have to be more diverse. I live in Cranston, and I don't think it's anywhere near where it should be.
We're talking here with Jim Vincent, president of the Providence chapter of the NAACP. Jim, what would it take to build more political support for the issues of greatest concern to the NAACP?
The greatest issues are issues like the probation and parole reform. And I think that that's going to happen. I think that Speaker Mattiello, I think, sees the wisdom of it. So,
okay, but the question is, what would it take if the NAACP has priorities like overhauling the state's approach to probation and parole? What would it take to create broader and wider support for those kind of priorities?
Maybe coming on this show more often, talking to the Providence Journal editorial board more often, doing other kinds of shows and going to different kind of meetings. I'm out almost every night promoting the issues that the NAACP find important. I was at a six-hour hearing just the other night in terms of early voting and automatic voter registration. Those things are very important. It's going to take more people, I guess, to be involved with us and with others, more coalitions that speak out. And I think it's just you got to beat the drum and you got to use the bully pulpit as much as possible.
What's your view of voter ID? Do we really need it?
I fought against photo ID when it first was proposed because I thought it was some kind of Republican attempt at voter suppression. Now, in Rhode Island, it wasn't really that. It was just something that sounded good government. But the implication in terms of who it was going to disenfranchise, potentially, never was taken into consideration. It was almost like an afterthought. But you can't do that. You have to do your research ahead of time and say, well, look it. Something like this is going to have a problem with people of color, elderly, students, the homeless. We may need to study this a little bit more, but they rushed and signed it so quickly, it made your head spin, and that's why I was against it, because it was not well thought out. The only reason why these voter IDs started propping up all over the country, in my opinion, is because of the election of President Barack Obama. Before his election, nobody talked about fraud in elections. It was a direct response to the fact that we had a first black president in the country, and a lot of people couldn't deal with it. And they said, hey, we got to do something with the increasing populations of color and the young people and whatever. We can't outpopulate these groups, so maybe we can suppress these votes by doing things that on its face seem reasonable.
A recent Gallup poll found a growing percentage of Americans concerned about race relations in America. There was also a partisan split in that poll. 59% of Democrats, but just 29% of Republicans were concerned about this issue. What's your explanation for that 30-point split?
Well, I mean, you have a lot of people that I'm not exactly friendly with the black community. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. So they tend to align by party today. I mean, we're really polarized, and it's no secret that a lot of people that are not exactly friendly with black people or people of color tend to align with the Republican Party. So I'm not surprised by that statistic. I'm hoping that race relations can improve without having people act out, their fears. I know that the Southern Poverty Law Center has said that since the election, there's been over 1,000 hate crimes reported, and not just in terms of African Americans, but we know the Jewish community, the Muslim community. We have people that, I guess, feel like they're in a bunker here in this country, and they're kind of against everybody. So when I see those low numbers, I think if you used other groups and tested that, you see the similar low numbers.
All right, we're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
And the president of the Providence chapter of the NAACP, Jim Vincent.
Thank you.